I got a symbol coming up on the PowerPoint here, and I want you to try to guess what that symbol is. See, that's what I say, too. It's a four-way flasher switch, which it kind of aggravates me that it's a triangle. I don't know if that bugs you, stuff like that bugs you or not, but it's like, I got to turn on my four ways. I'm looking up in the book, how do I turn on my four ways? I'm looking on the book, push the triangle. What kind of nut puts a triangle to turn on your four ways? I mean, that's ridiculous. They could add another side. It makes sense to me to turn on my four ways with a rectangle or a square, not a triangle. So and I got over that. I said, why is it a triangle then? Why? It's because I always called it my four ways. And I understand it's because it's like the four corners of your car or whatever. There's four different lights going off at a time. But really, what they refer to those as your hazard lights. Your danger or a risk is your car has become a danger or a risk. And maybe it's become a danger or a risk because it's slower than all the other cars. You know, you see truck drivers that are hauling heavy loads up mountains, they put on their hazard lights or their four ways because they have become a potential hazard because they're slower than the normal traffic. Or your car is broke down alongside the road and you want to put in, this car could be a hazard. So I'm going to let you know, I'm going to turn on my hazard lights or my triangle lights or my four ways. So that you can know that there's a danger or a risk that is following. So get over in the other lane or slow down or get ready to receive something that's dangerous or a risk. And so this morning, I want to turn on some hazard lights. I want to turn on some hazard lights this morning. And I went ahead and got some hazard lights so we could have some hazard lights going this morning. So that I turned on, now you got to work with me, a triangle now turns on a two-way light, okay? Work with me here. If a triangle can turn on a four-way light, a triangle can turn on a two-way light. So the hazard light, I want to turn on some hazard, I want us to know some dangers and some risks this morning. Something has become a danger or a risk, so I turn on the four ways, or I turn on the hazard lights this morning. And I don't know about you, but I've been guided the last few weeks since the first week of the year when we talked about the year of victory. I've been guided by this passage of Scripture. In verse 23 from Exodus says this, "My angel will go ahead of you and will bring you into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. I'm going to clean this land." And if you go into that passage, which we did a little bit in the first Sunday of this year, if you go into that passage a little deeper, you see that he's not going to do it all at once, but he's going to do it step by step by step by step in their life. And we have talked about the Amorites or those, the pride issues in our life and the arrogance in our life and how the pride, God hates pride and how it pushes God to the side because I've stepped in and sat on God's throne in my life. And God says, I hate it when you do that. I hate it when you do that because you're not a very good driver. And I want to be your driver. We talked about that. And then we talked about the Hittites and how the Hittites can hit us. And those things that hit us kind of deposit something that can cause anxiety in our life. And how do we handle the anxiety? I was moved by that in my own study. And some of you perhaps knew exactly what that feels like to be hit by the Hittites. And what do we do to handle the anxiety in our life? And last week I didn't make this known, but we talked about the Perizzites and how they're unfocused. It means unfocused and undisciplined and just kind of running wild, and how the preventing the spiritual erosion, we can prevent that in our life so we have a strong foundation just so we're not careening through life. And that because the spiritual influence or the spiritual truth that God gives us this week, it's so we can build on it next week, because it builds on last week. And yesterday and the day before builds, they all build together, but the parasites will come in and kind of underroot that and get you living not focused, and then you don't have any spiritual foundation. You got a lot of spiritual sheds in the field, perhaps, but you don't have a spiritual kingdom. You don't have a spiritual house, all united. Now, I'm not just talking about our physical houses, our family. I'm talking about in our own hearts and lives. Today, I want to talk about the Canaanites. The Canaanites, they didn't care about people. They kind of were users of people. And they kind of, nobody mattered to them. They had no respect or love or care for people. They had little respect. They just run over people. They had no compassion for people. So I want to turn on the hazard lights this morning. And really, maybe I can call this message Canaanite 101. I want us to be good Canaanites this morning. Who cares about people? So the hazard I want you to know is the hazards of compassion. You may want to drive around it. You may want to drive around compassion because there's hazards to compassion. And we go on into the passage of Scripture where Jesus is talking and he's telling this story. In reply, Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. So here's this guy. You know, a good Canaanite wouldn't give two cares about him. Because compassion has its hazards. Compassion has its dangers. Compassion has its risk. So look at the first two guys that come up on this guy. Great Canaanites. I think they graduated from Canaanite University. I think, look what they did. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. That's a good Canaanite. Don't worry about that dude. You got your own issues. You got your own things to do. I'm busy today. That is a good Canaanite spirit. Because compassion has its hazards. Compassion has its risk. If you're going to be compassionate, you got to know the dangers. You got to know the risk. You might want to get in the other lane when you see some dude beat up alongside the road. Hey, get in the other lane because I'm not going to stop there. Because it has its dangers. It has its hazards. Look at the next guy. So too, a Levite, and when he came to the place, he saw him. He also passed by on the other side. He had no compassion. Because he knew the dangers of compassion. He knew the hazards. He knew the risk of being compassionate. I just need my heart just hard that I can kind of get through. If I can just stop caring about people. Well, then we need a Canaanite spirit to come over us. It did these two dudes. But look what it says in verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, or he had compassion for him. So here's the guy. Now he's coming along. Now the other guys are going doing what they're supposed to be doing, or what they had planned for the day. The other guys don't even think about this guy. The other guys haven't engaged at all. The other guys are getting about what they wanted to get done today. Now a Samaritan comes along, and he has compassion, and it's going to cost him now. The hazards of compassion. The hazards of seeing someone else in need and moving toward their needs. The word compassion actually means to be moved in my guts. To be moved in my guts, to be moved by compassion, to be moved towards someone else is need. Someone who is in need, and something triggers in me and it causes me to go towards someone else who is in need. See, the other two guys got away, they didn't have that. So their life wasn't messed up. this guy's got compassion, and it's costing him something. It's going to cost him something. So, but the Samaritan, as he traveled, as he already had his day planned, as he traveled, now it's not as he sat on the couch doing nothing. This dude's busy. This dude's the Samaritan's got a plan for his life. He's got a plan for that day. His day planner is booked, baby. I got no time for a guy alongside the road. That's not the case with this guy. I got no time. The first two guys had no time for someone who is in need. But something's going on in the Samaritan. Even as he traveled, he was on the go. He was busy. He was on his way to accomplish what he had on his list for the day. So hazard number one of compassion is this. It will mess with your plans. You're going to have to know if we're going to be moved by compassion, it's going to mess with your plans. I just want you to know that there's a risk that your plans, whatever you had planned for the day, whatever the Samaritan had planned for the day, was not going to be accomplished in the timely fashion that he thought it was going to be accomplished. Because he had compassion. And if there was some four-ways or some hazard lights, he could have drove around. Not the guy. You got to drive around compassion, not just the guy. Because if you let compassion rule you in your heart, once you get to the guy, you're going to the guy. Because compassion will mess with you. Because compassion will mess with your plans. Don't you know how busy you are? What is that guy doing out here anyway? Did he know this was a dangerous road? Did he know he shouldn't be traveling at night? Didn't he know? If he'd have made better choices. See, you've got to come up with some excuses if you're going to drive by a guy. And if you can blame it on the guy, you're going to feel better about yourself. Because there's no way he'd end up there unless it was his fault. But it will mess with your plans. He went to him and bandaged his wounds. See what's happening here now? I'm going to say, am I making sense? And you're going to say, you're kind of making nonsense. Good. But I want us to know that if we're going to be compelled by compassion, that it's going to mess with your plans. If you're going to be compelled by compassion, he went to him and bandaged his wounds. Push the button. The hazard number two is it will involve you without knowing the details. What is wrong with this guy? He doesn't know this guy. He doesn't know what kind of disease he has. He doesn't know if he has some kind of disease that can be passed on to someone else. He doesn't know if he's an addict. He doesn't know if he's a criminal. He doesn't know anything about this. What is he doing? In your mind, if we're going to be a good Canaanite and have a Canaanite spirit, you've got to decide in your mind it was his fault. And he's got some problem that I don't want to be a part of. I don't know the details of what's going on. The hazard of compassion, it will involve you without knowing the details. You do not know the whole story. You do not know what's wrong with him. You do not know the underlying issues. What if there is something going on that you do not know? Besides, who do you think you are to fix anything? Drive by the guy. And he bandaged his wounds. He went to the guy and he bandaged his wounds. Hazard number three. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds. Hazard number three is this. It will be dirty. Compassion is going to be dirty. Because people that aren't in struggling at the moment may not be moved. You may not be moved in your compassion to go toward them. I'm telling us right now, and I'm telling us in my own life, I'm telling the guy in the mirror that compassion is going to bring you into dirty situations. Situations that you don't know. situations that you don't know all the details. I can write a book on what that is in people's lives. Situations that need compassion are dirty situations. Situations that need compassion are not ones we know all the details. And situations that need compassion are going to mess with your own plans. It's just going to happen. You got to know that. So don't be worried about driving past the guy. You got to drive past compassion first. You got to get rid of that out of your life. Push the button. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He poured on oil and wine. Hazard number four is it will use up your supply. It's going to use up. Don't give that can of Fix-A-Flat to that guy alongside the road. You might have a flat tire later on. You got to have some Fix-A-Flat. If he'd have been anything, if he'd have been concerned about Fix-A-Flat, he'd have got his own Fix-A-Flat, and he'd be in his trunk, and he'd be... It's going to use up your supply. For crying out loud, don't. But this guy did. This guy had pity. This guy had compassion. And he moved toward this guy, even though it was dirty, even though he didn't know all the plans, and even though it was messing with his schedule, even though it was using up his own supply. They should have planned better. See, I can give us a whole list of things, that excuses that we can really get rid of compassion and embrace the Canaanite spirit so that we don't have to worry about that. I'm busy. If you'd have planned ahead, you'd be good. He went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. You got to be kidding me. He put him in his truck. You don't know this guy. You don't know what kind of disease. You already used up your supply. Can't that be enough? You gave him Fix-A-Flat. It will cause inconvenience. I'm telling us right now, compassion causes inconvenience. It's causing this discomfort or difficulties or annoyance. Then look what he said. The passage goes on to say, he said, and took him to an inn and cared for him. Hazard number six, it will take more time than you may want to give. Are you with me this morning? We're going to need to know the hazards of compassion. Because like you and me and many other people, we got 25 hours of planning in a 24-hour day. And I ain't got enough time to give somebody else. But I got to know, I need to drive by this hazard. I need to drive by this, and so I can get on with my own life, so I can do what I need to do. It will take more time than you may want to give. I'm going to say, just take the may out of there. It'll take more time than you want to give. The next day, verse 35 says, the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Hazard number 7 is, it will cost you more than you want to give. Hey, this is... You know, I haven't bought one thing outside of our own refrigerator all week, and I still got a 20 in my pocket. And 3 ones. I'm set. And if somebody else would have been as frugal as I am, they'd have $23 too. I don't want to give it to you. Because it's more than I want to give. The hazards of compassion. It will mess with your plans. It will involve you when you don't know all the details. It will be dirty. Compassion is dirty, and compassion will use up your own supply. For crying out loud, I know how many times I went to the cupboard, and I was like, hey, Cheryl, where's that? Whatever. And she said, I gave it to the neighbors. I said, what? Didn't you drive by Compassion? They were my Cheerios. I didn't want to give them. It will be dirty. It will use up your supply. And it will be inconvenient. And it'll probably cost you more time than you think you got to invest. And it's probably going to cost you more than you think you can give. And all that is true. All that is true. Not only if I can read it in the scripture, I'm telling you, I lived that. I lived it this week. And so did many of you. If we could just drive by compassion, we wouldn't have to get in somebody else's mess. It's all true. But what if we let, you can push the button, but what if we let the it will shut down our compassion? What will happen? What will happen if we can just drive by compassion? If we can just be a good priest or a good Levite or embrace a good Canaanite spirit? Stinking Samaritan anyway. But what happens if we drive by compassion? What happens if we're not moved in our guts for someone else who is in need? If we're not moved and wrenched in our guts for our community that has such a need? What happens if we can truly drive by compassion in the other lane and let somebody else worry about it? What if there's no one else to worry about it? What happens if we can just not be hurting for those who hurt? What would happen if we could just be not moved with empathy and sympathy for the hurting? Matthew 9 says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know what's going to happen if we can drive by compassion? We're going to lose the heart of Jesus. Because there's no way we can drive by compassion unless we can squelch the heart of Jesus. There are hazards to compassion. But if we let the hazards, the it wills, run our life, we're going to lose the heart of Jesus, who had compassion on those because they were hurting, because they had a need, because they were without direction in their life. It's the same word as the Samaritan. They had compassion. His guts hurt for them. And listen, I don't have all the answers either. I know that my guts hurt sometimes for some people, and I don't know what to do. But I can't tell my guts not to hurt. Even though when I don't know what to do at times. Because I do not want to lose the heart of Jesus. Jesus said, I got compassion over and over and over. I could have had many verses here where Jesus had compassion. He wept over people because his guts hurt because of their need. We will lose the heart of Jesus. If we can drive by compassion, we will lose the heart of Jesus. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest fields. We need a little less Canaanites and a little more Samaritans. We need a few less priests and more Samaritans. We need less Levites and more Samaritans. Ask the Lord of the harvest. So if we can drive by compassion, if we can get to the other side of the compassion, we will lose the heart of Jesus, and we will never, never, never get into the harvest field. You're never going to get. Because even though I don't know what to do sometimes, and sometimes I'm and my guts are hurting and I don't know what to do with my fingers, I am in the harvest field. I am in there where Jesus has taken me. And realizing there are those that are struggling, those that are in need. We'll have to be taken out of the harvest field. Because the harvest field is where those who have need, and God's going to bring them into our world. We will lose the heart of Jesus. And we will never make it into the harvest field. That's what happens if we can drive by compassion. Oh, there's a lot of hazards to compassion. I didn't speak one thing that wasn't truth there. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. What happens if we can drive by compassion? You're going to be naked. You know what happens when you're naked? You'll put anything on. And when it's not compassion, know what you'll put on? A good coat of anger. Oh, at least I'm covered because I don't like to be naked. I'm telling us, if we don't put on compassion, you'll put on anger. You'll put on disgust. You'll put on malice. You'll put on frustration. You'll put on annoyance. Something because you got to deal with this naked feeling that I'm having. Of course, you've already squelched. We've already squelched the heart of Jesus. We've already been moved out of the harvest field, and now we're standing there naked. That's usually not the mission statement of most churches. We want not to have the heart of Jesus. We want to be moved out of the harvest field, and we want to be naked. But if we can drive by compassion, that's exactly what we're going to be. And we'll strive to put on, and I know a lot of grouchy Christians. And when I see a grouchy Christian, I know you got them got compassion on. Oh, I can put it on and off too. I might have some in the closet. I'm talking full time. Full time living in the heart of Jesus. Full time living in the harvest field. Full time clothed in compassion. Full time Samaritan work. But the Canaanites will kind of get you not to do those things. The Canaanites will get you to say, drive by compassion. It's not your issue. So again, Luke 15:20, it says this. So he got up and went to his father. Here's a prodigal son. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. What will happen if we drive by compassion? We will miss the return of the prodigal sons and daughters. Does that make sense this morning? There are believers in Jesus Christ that are hooked in sin. There are people who are hooked in addiction. There are people who are hooked and they're out there. Their salvation, I believe, is secure. When Jesus comes back, they're going right to him. But today, they're stuck in the mud. And God is working in their life, and God is inviting them back. And if the church loses its compassion, we will never be there to embrace those who run back to Jesus. Who are they going to run back to? An angry crowd? Frustrated, annoyed crowd? Dressed in the beautiful annoyance? Lost the heart of Jesus? Out of the harvest field? Naked? Dressed in anger? Oh, I want to come back to Jesus. That's about as stupid as you can get. But with compassion, we'll be ready to embrace and kiss and welcome. We will judge. If we drive by compassion, we will judge rather than embrace. If we drive by compassion, we might even lose hope that they will ever return. In the story of the prodigal son, the guy was always the son. But he was stuck in the mud, and the father was full of compassion and looking for him to return. Families, if you're waiting for a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife to come to faith, let God saturate you with compassion, because the day when that happens, they're going to need an embrace from you. Filled with compassion. So rather than the spirit of the Canaanites, let me end with this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is it okay if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you? The Spirit of the Lord come upon us. Spirit of the living God, come upon us. Spirit, saturate us this morning. Spirit, fill us with compassion this morning. We know the hazards, but we're not driving by it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me or chose me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. He has sent me to help recover the recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent me to release the oppressed. He has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I talked with someone this week. There's a lot of preachers standing just as my own, looking the guy in the mirror. There's a lot of preachers that can preach a lot of good, solid truth. But there's a lot of preachers that preach it without an ounce of compassion. Let Him fall upon us. Let Him saturate us. Let us anoint us so we don't extinguish the heart of Jesus. So we don't get moved out of the harvest field. So we're not striving to dress ourselves in something that's not compassion. So we don't miss the embrace of those running back to Jesus. Let the Spirit fall upon you. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we ask you to fall fresh on us. Just to be honest, in this world that I live in, sometimes my guts hurt, and I don't know what to do. And I know that you want me to have the heart of Jesus. You want us to have the heart of Jesus, and I want it too. And I believe you want me to be a Samaritan, not a priest, not a Levite. I don't believe you want, and I'm sure that you don't want the Canaanite spirit to fall upon us. You want the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us.
Do it, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you wouldn't just rest on us, but you would fill us. That when we leave this building, that it would not scrape off at the door. And I full on expect to be challenged with the need for compassion this week. And I believe that we're going to see those in need. And we will count the cost. But we're not losing the heart of Jesus. So help us, Lord. When our guts hurt and don't know what to do, show us, God. Show us what to do. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for being able to dress ourselves in compassion. Father, if we're angry, let it off. Father, if we're frustrated, let us take it off. Father, if we're full of malice, let us shed it off and let us put on the robe of compassion and defeat the spirit of Canaanites and be filled with the spirit of the Most High God. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite everyone to stay for the meal if you want. We're going to make a few transitions here, but so just bear with us.